I speak to you in the name of God, God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Sustainer, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This is the first Sunday of Advent, and it's the season of where we prepare our hearts and minds yet again for the coming of our Savior. But it's not just that we're going around in a circle, a flat circle, but every year is like a dialectic, a screw pitch where we go higher and higher as we think and grow and mature as Christian people. And so we're constantly being challenged to move up higher, to go in depth within our souls, within our minds, about what does it mean to be a person following Jesus Christ. So the new Christian year is a time of the beginning, a recognition that we're beginning again our journey with Jesus to deepen ourselves in what it means to journey as Christian people living in 2016 and going into 2017. So that's our challenge. And we're talking about as we prepare to receive again Jesus into ourselves as an infant and to develop with Jesus and to grow with Jesus and to grow in our own mind and understanding. That's the idea of the birth at Christmas. We are receiving Jesus again. We're starting again in this new journey. We prepare ourselves for that by the principal themes of Advent. Today's theme is hope. And foundational to hope is an understanding of what is our mission as church. What are we called to be as we journey together, we journey in the world, we move forward in our lives? Here's the principal church mission. This is historic, but it's important for us today. To invite others to journey together with us to a new place none of us has seen. To journey together to a new place that none of us has seen. Consider the readings for today. From Isaiah the prophet, turning our swords into plowshares. What a beautiful image. I used to have a pin. I lost it, sadly, somewhere in Alberta. I hope whoever found it enjoyed it. But it was a sword that had been made to look like a plowshare. And you just have this image of moving from violence of the world's vision, all the armaments, all the war, all the death and destruction, and turning that from that kind of an image into something where you're gardening, you're looking after the earth instead of destroying it, providing food for the needy and for everyone else. It's a kind of a sense of nurture, the sword into a plowshare, and your spear into a pruning hook. Imagine that concept of, you know, taking and pruning the trees, making it more productive, instead of fighting and crashing and burning, nurturing. It's a lovely image. And then from Romans, the idea that the night is far gone. Jesus is nigh. We have to move away from our earthly habits. Maybe when we were younger, we had wild lives. I was bored, but you might have had a wild life. And you might have had a great time. But we've moved on. I work with people who had very wild lives, and they're moving forward now, giving up their addictions and stopping their crime and becoming productive citizens of the world. But it's a challenge. They're moving forward. They're growing up. They're saying, whoa, we have to become responsible adults. And then we have the gospel of the day. The gospel says we don't know for sure the time when Jesus is coming. But in this new year of the church, we know that we are now days closer than we were. There's many interpretations about the second coming. Will it be at our own death? Or will it be some other kind of magical thing that happens? And I can tell you for hours about various churches, interpretations and theologies. And maybe sometime over coffee we can do that. But I promised, knowing that today is Grey Cup Day, that I wouldn't keep you here for 6 hours. But, you know, it's a whole sense of a newness. So how do we move towards a change and helping other people change? There are basically four entry points into life change. Four entry points. The first is an intrapersonal change. A change within ourselves. A change of attitude. Developmental psychologists say that women mature at age 26. The brain is fully developed and all the things are running the way they should. Men, sorry guys, 28, we're a little behind. But most of us have got over the age of 28 and we're sort of getting it together. And we're on a journey, but it starts from within. A change within our heart, a change within our vision, a change within our attitude. Oftentimes this change comes because we have a self-interest to change. You know, if you really want, you found, for the men or the women, we found the person of our life, and we're going to be wild and crazy, that person probably won't want to have anything to do with us. It's our own self-interest to grow up. But it's our own self-interest to change within ourselves. And that's part of what today is about. And we also have an opportunity, and this is what this season of Advent is about, to reflect and do a reflection within ourselves. Who am I as a Christian? Re-examine my own attitudes and actions towards myself, but to others around me. What's going on for me? How do I deepen and mature this change in my life? And form a new community, a new framework of seeing things differently. You know, those of us who were maybe on the wild side when we were younger, we wouldn't want to go back to it. I know every day working with some people in recovery, they just don't want to go back. I got to tell you this. This is wonderful. I was working with an addict the other day who's really come a long way. And he said, you know, Reverend Dave, we have three types of people who come into recovery. We've got tourists, we've got terrorists, and we have refugees. And I don't think the guy minds if I use his nickname. No one will really know him. Dino. I said, well, Dino, tell me about this. He said, well, the tourists are those who come out of prison and come here to recovery. They just want a shower and a couple of good days of meals and a little bit of safety to sleep, and then they run away. They're just here passing through. They don't have a commitment to recovery. They're just a tourist here. And I said, well, then what about the terrorists? He said, oh, the terrorists are the ones that have got so much corruption in their head. They have so much hate that they just want to get out of prison. They come here and they try to destroy the camp and bring everybody else down to their level. They use, they bring in, they fight, they threaten. They're just terrorists. And if we're going to get anywhere, we got to get rid of the terrorists. And I said, well, Dino, tell me what's the third one. He said, well, the refugee. He said, we come here for a safe place because we want to change our lives. We've had corrupted lives, but we want to move forward. And we just want to change. And so I think we have to start asking, are you a terrorist, a tourist, or a refugee who just wants to come, heal, and move on and establish themselves again as a member of society? That's intrapersonal change. The next one is interpersonal change. As opposed from within yourself, it's a change in relationship to others. I can tell you in my own life when I was younger, before I started to mature as a Christian, and I was ordained. I mean, you don't get ordained and get instantly mature. You have to grow up too. Clergy have to grow up. I'm sure Jack found that. I found that. Others have. And you probably found it with clergy. That we have to be able to sensitively listen, but we also have to sensitively talk. I can remember when I was first ordained, I was so terrified of alienating somebody that I wouldn't speak the truth in a gentle way. But I came to the point where I said, you know, enough's enough. These are the values of Jesus Christ, and I need to share them. I don't just have to go along with craziness, but we have to, you know, change our personal relationships. You know, I know other clergy will come in and they want to lash everybody, and I think that's also stupid. But we are sensitively stewards and working together, walking together as people of God. An interpersonal change. And it goes beyond just a racial and ethnic and politics to really start getting beyond that stuff and start to build friendships with people as people and not seeing all this other stuff. No, I have many, many people who maybe follow the prophet or go to synagogue or whatever. And we just work together as people, trying to develop a better life for all. And we have to move away from stereotyping and scapegoating and move forward in hope as people growing together. And that leads to the third way of growing in this season. And that's reconciliation, where we start to reconcile in ourselves who we are and reconcile in ourselves with other people, overcoming past hurts. Those who have ever got involved in 12-step work know that you do step 4 and step 5 are very important. You make a list of who you have to make amendments to. That's an effort to reconcile. And then you also clean out yourself in your step 5 about the things that really are a burden. And this season of Advent, in hope, when we do this, this builds us towards more hopeful people. We're moving forward, we're not stuck. And that comes to the last thing for hope building. And that is a structural and institutional change. There are lots of people who are trapped because of the way the structure is around them. You know, this week the CBC and other places are hosting their food bank day. I know food banks are important, but there's something wrong in a wealthy society where we have to have food banks. There's something wrong. We should be able to make sure that the poorest among us have the basic needs. There's always this sense, well, if we do that, then we become socialists and blah, blah, blah. But basically, we have to start picking up, because when the lowest parts of our society are looked after, there's less need of crime and all the other things that go with poverty. Not that all, I don't mean to say that poor people are criminals. They're not. They're often some of the most generous people. I know working with the fire department a few years ago, whenever there was a fire where people were burned out, who came and brought things to help those who were devastated? It was the most poor. They came and shared with what they had. A very Christian act. But we have to work towards structural change. And so as we prepare for Christmas and prepare for the birth of Jesus and look to what brings hope in our lives, what changes us, these four elements are critically important. For we have to work together to stop harm. We have to change our cultural attitudes. We have to work to bring hope and move beyond ignorance. So today, as we prepare ourselves and reflect on hope, I pray that as we receive the sacrament, each of us will say, What am I called to do in this new year to help bring hope to the world in which I live? To help bring constructive change? What is Jesus calling me to do as a member of the body of Christ? What am I called to do and to uplift in this year ahead as we walk together? as members of the body of Christ. I pray that we become more sensitive to not worry about being politically correct. Critically correct is oftentimes a criticism leveled because there's not an understanding. Politically correct really means we're trying to be sensitive and inclusive. It's not trying to be politically correct, but being sensitive and inclusive. I believe in that way we are trying to emulate what Jesus has called us to be as members of his body and family. I pray that we journey together in this new year in hope. May God bless us all. Amen.